It's time to wake up with a nice cup of
more thing for your business. Save even more with the Easy Rewards program at Staples.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Purdy, hook and ladder.
Bell gives it off.
Here comes Summer. Pitchy woo woo.
Ayuk.
Uh-oh.
Flip back. This is Mason. Back to a lineman now. Now Sauber. Sauber. Still on the move. A lineman flips it back looking for Ayuk. And this ball game is over.
And that's how it ends in L.A. Let's see if my voice can survive today. Let's see if it can survive because last night, you want an old baby? Old baby. Old baby. Old baby. We might be soon in some trouble around here. Niners lose a game they have no business losing yesterday to the LA Rams. The Rams now have life. They get their first win of the season. The Niners dropped the 1-2. And look, we'll discuss Brock Purdy's brilliant play. I thought maybe it was his best game as a professional quarterback. Brock Purdy was simply amazing. Juwan Jennings equally as great yesterday. But outside of that, there's a lot to pick apart today, and we're not going to play the blame game. We're going to talk about what went wrong. And a lot went wrong yesterday down at SoFi Stadium. We'll get into it. 888-957-9570 is the number. Good morning to all the truck drivers, all the overnight dancers, all the janitors, cops, all the baristas, everybody who had to suffer through what happened yesterday at SoFi Stadium. The Niners lose their second straight game, and they lose to the LA Rams, a team that had no Puka Nacua, no Cooper Kupp, half an offensive line, all kind of defenders out, Shasky. And they steal a game they have no business winning. No business winning. I'm befuddled right now on what happened yesterday at SoFi Stadium. I still can't believe they lost. Like, they lost that game? They lost that game with the way Purdy played? Wow.
When you don't finish teams off when they're hanging on the ropes and you allow them to hang around, this is what happens. It does feel like even the greatest Niner teams, the best ones of the last 25 years, they lose this game once or twice a year. The disgusting, should have won, had opportunities to go up three scores over and over and over again. And then you look back and you're like, you let them hang around. And then just gas across the board. I mean, just across the board. Got away from the run game because of the way the game was being played in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Critical drops that you look back at, it seemed worse and worse and worse given where you were in the game. Situational breakdowns when it comes to individual performance on the offensive line. I don't know if you know this. Trent Williams, you know how like Debo Samuel Sr.? Trent Williams should put Trent Williams the fourth on the back of his name because he's now Trent Williams IV. I mean, it's like every single week this guy's going in for an IV. No, I'm dead serious. This is ridiculous.
Did you like that?
All these people, practice. He's going to be fine. It's Big Trent. I don't ever want to hear ever again. And we're not going to go deep into it. I never again want to hear that practice and holdouts and all that stuff doesn't matter. We're seen it play out year after year. Yes, the team can overcome it and have a great start, but these guys have not, they've not been ready to go, period. And then I look at Ronnie Bell dropping those balls the way he did. The defense specific personnel, Isaac Yiddum, they're throwing at Isaac Yiddum all day, every day. A horrific penalty for 50-something yards, where 48 yards down the field, just giving them life. Tutu Atwell playing juggles with the ball, making play after play after play.
What did Mark Sanchez say? Two catch, two. I like that.
Devondre Campbell, get off my field. I mean, Javon Hargrave made one play. That was it. Leonard Floyd dropping back in coverage. I don't know why. That's the only play he made all day outside of a hands-to-the-face penalty. Pass rush non-existent in the fourth quarter. And Matthew Stafford's arm talent is unbelievable. The guy makes, you talked about this last week. I could just go on and on and on. Clock management. He made multiple deep throws that were incompletes that to me were like, oh my God, it's the threat of throwing deep. Now, obviously, he connected multiple times on deep throws. He throws an out route that just whizzed by one of our defenders. I just Dominic Flanagan fouls tackled by air, getting tackled by air on a screen pass. Again, it's getting called back. Our linebacker play, the drop off without Dre Greenlaw is dramatic.
Well,
dramatic.
I thought yesterday, you could feel the spirit and energy of Dre Greenlaw being missed.
Totally agree.
Not necessarily his play, but maybe his play too, but his spirit and his energy, the tone setter. The Niners defense just, it felt like they played a bit soft yesterday. Fred Warner didn't have the game that we saw last week against Minnesota, but it's a lot to ask. He's got all kind of assignments here. I got no problems with Fred. But Isaac Yiadom got cooked. Charvarius Ward did not look right. He did not look right after missing 2 days of practice. George Kittle being out obviously affected the 49ers pass game. But look, yesterday's game's going to overlook what should be a better day for Brock Purdy and Juwan Jennings. We know we have a quarterback. I mean, Brock Purdy just played sensational football. Sensational football. I didn't count 1-0-0 throw yesterday. Not 1-0-0 throw. He was unbelievable. Now, he had a couple deep shots, and you could say the second to last drive of the game where Ayuk is running down the field wide open. You wish he pulled the trigger on there, but I'm nitpicking here. He threw balls. He put the team in a position to win the football game, and Ronnie Bell dropping that pass with Shanahan staring at it, throwing his hands up like, what else can I do? What else can I do? Called a great, and like even Shanahan for that matter, offensively, I thought Shanahan for the most part called a really good game. Oh, I really did. I thought he controlled the game for the most part. I thought he was brilliant, but you got to make plays to put teams away. When you don't stop a fake punt on 4th and 6, and the Rams have no life.
I thought of Jeff Fisher. The minute he did it, I thought of Jeff Fisher, because it was one of those moments. They're at the 45, it's like 3rd and 6 or whatever, and they're on the ropes. It's 14-0. There's about 6 minutes to go. I got so many highlights, but like 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, they're dead in the water. Well, Stafford's got like 2 completions at that point.
Well, it's 4th and 6, 6:20 left. And Ronnie Rivers scampers around the edge for 7 yards. So you don't have outside containment. Once again, you blow the outside containment. And that drive got the Rams, gave them life. Down 14-0.
Did you see the sidelines?
They go to 16-play, 87-yard drive, aided by that fake punt. And they eat 7 minutes and 46 seconds left. 7 minutes and 46 seconds off the clock. Shasky, the Niners ran 9 total plays in the second quarter. 9 total plays. And the momentum got stolen because you get a sack fumble there by Colt McKivitz not making a block there by Brian Young. Brian Young comes around the edge. He strips. The Niners are going to go up at least 17-7 in that situation. At least. You get stripped for the fumble. Now the Rams go to halftime knowing that we're going to get the ball, even though they didn't do anything at the beginning of the third quarter. But you're up 14-7, and I'm looking around thinking, this should be a 21-7 game minimum.
I know.
Minimum.
I know. Well, the 2 plays prior, Trent goes down on the play Purdy scrambles.
For the IV.
And Jalen Moore comes in, okay? And like I'm like, oh boy, here we go. And on the first play, Jalen Moore gets thrown back like 4 or 5 yards. You'll notice it when you watch it back on replay, people. And I'm saying to myself, oh boy, they're flirting with danger here. And then it's Colt McKivitz on the other side. And it's one of those situations where you got to get points there. You needed something to get the momentum back. Knowing the Rams are getting the ball to start the other half, and they got the stop to start it off. There were so many little plays in this game where there were certain specific things that drove me absolutely crazy. So, case in point, 21-14, okay, the Niners march down. They have to answer. I needed 6 there. They get down into the goal line. It's 3rd and 1, all right? 3rd and 1. It's a short yardage situation. You take Ayuk and Jennings off the field. All right. Now, I want to know more. Why did they come off the field? Were they tired? Was it a specific package? You go Braden Willis, okay? I mean, again, Braden Willis. If I pulled 100 Niner fans, I mean, how many know who Braden Willis is? And Chris Connolly, and you watch the Rams.
Don't underestimate Niner fans. They know who's on the practice squad.
Okay, you get my point.
Yeah, I hear you.
They come flying up knowing there's no way in hell they're running a play action. There's no way in hell there's a threat of a pass here. And they stuff Jordan Mason right there, and they only get the 3 the points. Goal. And like at the time, you're thinking, oh, 10 points is enough. No, it's not.
Well, it should have been. It should have been. Against that team, it should have been. You have a 10-point lead. You cannot blow
that.
And it's another
double defense. Hasn't proved that they can stop the run, and they haven't proved that they can stop the pass.
No, they haven't. But I mean, the first play right after that drive, they go 15 yards to Kyron Williams to start their drive and kickstart everything. But you still hold them to a field goal. Now the third and one play. Where you go left tackle, you're going to run behind Big Trent. Everybody knows you're running behind Big Trent. Give Shula some credit there for the defensive lineman having covering every single gap and said, we're going to have our linebacker one-on-one. He's going to shoot this gap, and we're going to stuff Jordan Mason. Now,
it's predictable.
In real time, I didn't have a big issue with the play call. Now, on the flip side, you could say, well, maybe you run some boot. Maybe you should run some play action. You keep the ball in Brock Purdy's hands. The personnel may not have been favorable, but it's 1 yard. And you're the San Francisco 49ers. And you're a running team. And you maul dudes. And for the most part, yesterday, Jordan Mason was mauling dudes. You got to pick up the first
down. But you can't. I hear you, and I'm picking one part away. I hate when you take playmakers off the field, even if you know you're not going to throw to them. They need to be out there to create space.
No, I get it.
And it drives me absolutely crazy. And then, I mean, Ronnie Bell catch the ball. I mean, you know, and look, the Moody field goal, we can lose our minds about the Moody field goal late. 55 yards is difficult. I mean, it just is.
First miss of the season.
I'm not going to crush the guy, but the reality is that he is a part of a variety of losses. I'm not saying he's the main reason, but he is a part of a variety of losses. Whoa. Now, did Robbie Gould have the leg to go 55? No, he didn't. In the last couple of years, he was not good from 50 plus. Yeah. But you drafted this guy with a premium pick in the third round to make those kinds of kicks, and it just sucks.
He's made those kicks before. He made 250 plus yard field goals in the Super Bowl.
But he also missed an extra
perfect.
Point.
He was perfect yesterday going into that last kick. Now it's tough. You got a chance to ice the game. It stays left. And you missed the damn kick. But how about when you do have a final drive and Ronnie Bell drops it, you punt it, and you give up Xavier Smith making his first punt return, and you give up a big punt return when the Rams are saying, oh my gosh, we're 15 yards away from being in field goal range to win the football game. Special teams have not been special this year. And I'll put this out there because I see a lot of heat for Kyle Shanahan. For the first time under Kyle Shanahan, I'm wondering if losing all of his assistant coaches and all these GMs and all these play callers and all these other coaches is starting to catch up to him. Because you got a rookie defensive coordinator who seems to be a bit overwhelmed right now with Nick Sorensen.
That's a conversation
I've told you we're going to have soon. Nick Sorensen in that defense looks pretty predictable. McVay did whatever the hell he wanted to do in the second half. Rams did whatever they wanted to do. Clean pockets, clean passing windows, you name it. They did whatever they wanted to do. Special teams coordinator, what's going on? What's going on with the quarterback coaches? What's going on with the wide receiver coaches? There's just a lot going on here. Little things that should be buttoned up where you look at the Chiefs and you look at the Eagles and you look at the other top teams in Detroit. They're buttoned up in a way where they mean business. Right now, the Niners, it still feels like they're in training camp mode.
Monte, you're paying... Okay, Javon Hargrave makes 20-something million a year. Nick Bosa makes 30-something million a year. You get zero pass rush in the second half. Like, don't get me wrong. The corner play is not good at all. You give up 48 yards on a free penalty. I mean, like, that's – I don't care who's pass rusher. You can have Lawrence Taylor on one side and Reggie White on the other. Like, you can't do that. But, like, can the pass rush get home once in a blue moon?
I don't even think they played the run well.
When was the last time the Niners had a free release rusher? Yeah.
Well,
a schematic advantage.
Well, I don't even know, like, in terms of just controlling the line of scrimmage. Controlling the line of scrimmage. I thought the Rams in the second half controlled the line of scrimmage
from their end.
Kyron Williams just, oh my gosh, he just ran the ball down the drain. Matt Stafford, give him credit. He balled out yesterday. He had clean pockets. Again, the Rams are down and out. It was 14-0, and you have a chance to go up 21-0 or 17-0. And all game long, I'm telling you, you remember this game because I know you're a sicko like me. 1988, they lost a game to the Phoenix Cardinals. They were up 23-0. 23-0, and they lost that game. And I'll never forget that game as a kid. And it was just like, why is this a game? Why are they still in it? I was getting the same thoughts yesterday where even in the fourth quarter, Shask, I wasn't stressed because I'm thinking, Niners are in control.
No, I
what is going on here? You have no business losing this football game. And the momentum kept slipping and slipping and slipping and slipping, despite a banner day from Brock Purdy, despite some great scrambling, despite Juwan Jennings playing big like a number one receiver. He made some history yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later. But he didn't even want to talk to the media after the game.
I don't blame him.
He was over it. He was over it.
Bonte Purdy was outstanding, as you referenced. But, okay, this is not the main reason why they lost. This is not the main reason. But again, timeouts, clock management, certain situations.
Which situation did you have an issue with clock management?
Okay. He calls a timeout on the second down, Shanahan does. There's like a minute 53 or whatever it was, a minute whatever, left the game. Peyton Manning's talked about this forever. If they're going to tie the game and you're going to get the ball back, if that team is marching down, you really only need like 30 or 40 yards, okay? Right? Because you're going to get the ball to 30, right? You only need about 40 seconds with no timeouts, okay? When you call timeout and you give more than a minute, minute and a half, you're also running the risk of, hey, if we get stopped and we have to punt because it's a tie game, you're not chasing. Yeah. It's not four down territory. There is the opportunity that you could go three and out at some point and you give it back to him. You cannot, in a tie game scenario, leave time on the clock to give it to the other team to give them an opportunity. Now, look, he dialed up a play where Ronnie Bell's got to catch it, right? So it goes both ways. It's not the end-all, be-all. But again, you didn't need to call the timeout. Yeah. Let the 30 seconds leak down. You had two timeouts.
I'm going to respectfully disagree.
Clock management year after year.
But listen, I'm going to respectfully. I get that. But in real time, I thought, I'm not mad at the timeout because I do want to preserve some clock. I don't have premium players out there. I know Juwan is having a great day, but I want to be able to have the time in my favor. So when I do, if Ronnie Bell does catch the pass, now the clock's gone. I got control of the game because the Rams had one timeout at that point. They didn't have time. They burnt two timeouts, remember? They were done. So in that situation, calling the timeout on the second down, I wasn't as outraged as everybody else was about it because I was thinking the same thing.
It's second and goal.
Yeah, but if the Rams run the kid and you let the clock run, then the Rams are saying, you know what? Oh, you're not going to call a timeout? We're going to drain this clock. And even if we don't score on third down.
You could have used one later.
No, I hear that.
If you get under a minute, you're in complete control. At minimum, you've got the ball and you could throw over the middle and you could still clock it. You still have another timeout available. Like, it was an unnecessary stoppage. He's going to look back at that. Even McVay yelled at Stafford, why are you burning the timeout on the delay of game penalty? He has learned from his mistakes. He looked at Stafford like, what are you doing? You've been doing this for too long.
It's 2 minutes left. The Rams have one timeout. I get it. I understand.
I would never have burned that timeout. I hated that. I wanted to have time.
I wanted to have real time because I've seen the Niners in their two-minute drill situation where they lack urgency at times in their two-minute drills. They lack the downfield passing attack in certain situations as a two-minute drill. So I wanted the clock in my favor. I just wanted a chance to get the ball back because there was a situation where if the Rams do not, say if they go to fourth down and they run it out third down, and all of a sudden the clock is all the way down under 30 seconds, right? And now you're playing for a fourth.
They score, it's a tie game. So at minimum, you're going to overtime. You're not giving the ball back to the other team.
I wanted a chance to get a ball to go win the game.
Not with this team
in their drop back pass game.
They ripped
deep balls with Juwan Jennings, but not at the end of the game, and they still had a chance to control the game. I disagree with that. I understood the situation. The blow of timeout right there.
Way too much time on the clock.
Well, you know what? You gave a big-ass punt return back, which blew it right there. You gave a punt return. When you put the ball, you pinned him inside the 20-yard line.
All I kept thinking was Peyton Manning's and Bill Belichick. You cannot give the ball back to the opponent at any scenario at the end of that game.
They were
going
to score, Shasky. I wanted a chance to win a game of regulation.
Of course.
They were going to score regardless.
But you also have to minimize the opportunity of the other team touching it.
I did not want to take a chance in overtime. And, oh, by the way, this thought also came into my head. In that situation, if they do tie it and you don't blow timeouts and there's less than 30 seconds left, what if they decide to go for two and steal the game right then
you
and there?
You still have plenty of time to get a field goal.
I didn't trust
goal.
It. I didn't trust it.
You're going to get the ball at the 30.
I didn't like
it's
it.
It's one pass,
I wanted
walk
Purdy.
Up, spike it, and then another pass, and bang, you're in field goal position. This isn't 1979.
Yeah, but
like,
you know what?
This is 2024. Teams
I hear him
march
that.
Down. Mahomes has talked about it. Belichick has talked about it. You really only need, with no timeouts, 30 to 40 seconds.
Yeah, but you
that's
know what?
The modern NFL.
But you know what, though? I wasn't mad at it because I'm 3rd and 10 with 1:02 left. Purdy threw, or excuse me, 2nd and 10 with 1:08 left. Purdy throws an absolute dime to Ronnie Bell. And you know what? He drops it. Simply drops it. So that's your game right there. So you still had a situation, the whole timeout fiasco thing. It wouldn't have mattered had your wide receivers made wide receiver type plays. And now we're sitting here on 1 and 2. And you got to get ready for the Patriots. Well, what went wrong? 888-957-9570. The fact is, the game shouldn't came down to a timeout in the second quarter. The game should have came down to a Ronnie Bell drop pass. So now, when it does come down to that stuff, everything gets magnified and overexposed. The Niners just simply blew it. They blew it, folks. How did they blow it? What's your big issue right now? We'll talk Ayuk. We'll talk Jennings. We'll talk defense. We got everything. Nick Sorensen. What do you think about him as a defensive coordinator 3 games in? All that coming up. 888-957-9570 is the number, and that's brought to you by Big Old Tire.
Hey, it's Brian from San Ramon. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Shanahan, run the ball.
Oh, I'm doing a little chuckle because I already know what today's show is going to be all about. Lines are lit up right now. We're going to get to everybody. 888-957-9570. Niners lose 27-24 in the game. They had no business. And this game should have been over midway through the second quarter. But you heard the fake punt. Adam Amin on Fox Sports alongside Mark Sanchez. It's 4th and 6. Rams have nothing going. It's 6:20 left in the first half. Niners are rolling. It's dominating. I didn't think the Rams were going to be able to move the football yesterday. And as you know, Ronnie Rivers with a fake punt to the left, gets outside contained, gets outside the outside containment. Every defense gets sucked in, even though Shanahan said, he said he saw it coming. He said he saw the fake punt coming. Well, they weren't ready for it. They weren't ready for it because they get a first down and end up going on a 16-play, 87-yard drive that took up 7 minutes and 46 seconds left, and they go down 14-7, but it got them back into the game, and it gave the Rams some much-needed life because they were getting clocked in the first quarter. And the Niners end up, that drive that took nearly 8 minutes, Niners end up only snapping 9 snaps on offense. 9 snaps on offense in the second quarter. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, and look, he's a young man, and there's no other way around this. Like, Ronnie Bell should not have made the team, period. Just from watching what I watched in the last 2 preseasons in the games, this guy had nothing but the drops. I'm not there every single day, so maybe right. He's tearing it up in practice. But from the people that I trust that go to there, it doesn't sound like he was. And so when you watch these preseason games, the amount of times the ball hit him in the shoulder pads and popped up in the air, the amount of times it hit him in the hands, hit the helmet, and popped up in the air over and over and over and over again. Again, I know he's a young man. He means well. But, like, right. He's out there on crucial plays. And there were other receivers that I saw making plays. You know, I'm deep is
Jacob
how I
Cowing.
Found Bethune, the linebacker.
Jacob Cowing.
Well, Cowing is just on a milk cart, not outside of punt returns. But Bonte, he had, I don't know if they called the one a drop where the guy jumped in front of him and kind of batted it down early in the game. But he had at minimum 2 drops in this game.
Well, he had one on a third. He had one that set up a 3rd and 4 where he runs a little slant and he heard footsteps from the linebacker. Hear footsteps. He didn't want to catch that pass.
No, so, and he got hit anyway.
You know, he got hit anyway. He didn't catch the pass. And really, it's unfortunate that the Niners did lose that game because we were all sitting in front of our TVs at 1:25 seeing what would Brock Purdy do without Christian McCaffrey, without George Kittle, and without Deebo Samuel. And I thought Brock Purdy may have played his best game as a professional quarterback despite not having those weapons. Brock Purdy was throwing dime after dime after dime after dime. He scrambled when he needed to. Brock Purdy was throwing the ball deep. He was stretching it first quarter. Wow, deep shot to Brandon Ayuk. They get the defensive holding on Tre'Davious White. They don't get the hold. Maybe that's a 70-yard touchdown, and we're discussing Brandon Ayuk in a different light today. But Brock Purdy, outside of not seeing Brandon Ayuk on that second down play, on the second to last drive for Brandon Ayuk running wide open where Mark Sanchez goes, man, he may have hit his goal head on the goalpost. I thought Brock Purdy was excellent.
He's amazing.
Excellent yesterday. Unbelievable game from number 13.
How about the third down scramble where there's no play there, and yep, he runs to his left, pump fakes to get the defender to like jump in the air.
And stays in bounds.
Yeah, and then you're talking about where he dove and stretched the ball out.
He's sticking the ball.
I go, that's like a young Russell Wilson play. Right. He made plays yesterday in terms of foot, like moving around the pocket and making plays with his feet. I thought he was brilliant. And I've been screaming, I want him to run more. Yeah. But it was the situational runs, and he did a really, really good job of it. He threw some just perfect layered passes. And I'm watching Juwan Jennings, and I'm saying, and I'm surprised no one brought this up. I brought it up. I did the live stream on 95.7 on the YouTube page, and it reminded me of the Anquan Boldin game where Anquan week one against the Packers went absolutely buck loose. I had like 12 or 13 catches, like 200 yards. Maybe he didn't get 200, but I thought it was close to 200 yards. Yep. And I'm saying, like, Juwan is on fire, and he had one cold back. And I'm saying to myself, like, this guy is rising to the occasion. And I know there's an entire IU conversation, and I don't know. I don't know where people are at today. Like,
well,
I thought early in the game he was good, and then they kind of went away from him, and he had a couple of bad drives. Right. That I can't really, defend.
So he had the one drop, right, when he came in on end, and Sanchez was mentioned on the broadcast.
Down one, when they're
the third
down,
Sanchez said, man, he didn't.
It was,
he kind of come back. You're thinking about the Tre'Davious White one where Purdy rolled out to his right. Purdy rolled out to his right. Ayuk was there, but on that play, I legit give Tre'Davious White credit for playing through the whistle and playing through the football. He went through it. He got physical because he was getting picked on. Tre'Davious White was getting picked on. A young man from Buffalo. He's had multiple ACL injuries. Yes. He's had some unfortunate injuries because he's one of the best corners in football at one point. But I thought he played through the football on that one. I'm thinking about the other one where they're going. I think they end up scoring a touchdown on it, but it was a little subtle in route.
Behind
him. It was kind of behind him, but Ayuk's got to catch that
one.
And then Adam and me said, that's one Purdy wishes he had back. That's one Ayuk wishes he had back. So Ayuk was, look, you want a little more? I know it looks straight. Look, he created the holding penalty on a deep shot that would have been a touchdown. He's running wide open. The game looks different. That was Juwan Jennings' game, and it happens like that. Juwan Jennings went out there and showed out. He showed out yesterday, but my big takeaway is, damn, Purdy played a hell of a game yesterday.
But
that quarterback can play.
It's unavoidable. They gave this guy $30 million, and him and Trent, they both held out, and they both looked suspect, through the first couple weeks. The crazy thing was Ayuk was good early in this game, but as the game went on, to your point, Jennings did get targeted, and rightfully got targeted more.
He was fine.
But I keep going back to, and this is a team building, like, did it make, and I think this is a fair conversation, did it make sense to pay one guy $30 million and your other receiver make it $25 million when another guy making $5 or $6 million had a game that Ayuk's never been targeted like that? That's just not how they play football. So,
Ayuk got 10 targets yesterday. He got 10 targets. Juwan Jennings got 12. So Ayuk got force fed.
I mean,
he got some targets yesterday. So
it's the energy for me. Like, we could talk about the drops, and I agree with you. Like, 50-50. You got to make $30 million guy. You probably got to make those plays. But and I don't want to like sound like I'm defending him, but at the same time, it's the energy for me. The energy from last year where he'd make a first down and he'd do the, the shoulder thing, or he'd do the, I don't know, he's shooting the bazooka gun off or whatever. He's just, the aura, the charisma, it's just
not
popping off.
He's not there yet because
he's disconnected.
He's not there yet because he's not football shape yet. You know what I'm saying? And so now the heat is getting on him. The heat is turning up on Brandon Ayuk. Let's get to Derek in Austin, Texas. Derek, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Thanks, guys. Love the show. Shasky, you are all of us, my man. I love your passion. Talk about passion. You got it. Things for you guys. Yeah, no problem. Three things. Ronnie Bell should never see the field again. Special teams coordinator, I don't know what the hell's going on. We got the worst special teams the last few years, and it killed us yesterday and the week before. And then lastly, and this is something that I think has not gotten enough, is Sorensen is not the guy. We all knew Shanahan and wanted Steve out from last year, but Sorensen is not the guy. And I don't know what we're going to do, but, and I'm not like a knee jerk, we got to fire everybody, but my God, he's just not the guy. And that's all I got. But no, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
What my question is, do we give Sorensen the amount of leeway we gave to D'Amico Ryans? Because D'Amico Ryans struggled his first few games, first month, month and a half, as a defense coordinator with the 49ers, and then all of a sudden they got their act together. Same thing with Robert Saleh. Are we going to warrant that to Nick Sorensen? Because so far the reviews on Nick Sorensen, three games in, I'm definitely not impressed, especially with all the heat coming off of Steve Wilks. I don't care about Steve Wilks. He didn't know the scheme. Whatever. You move on from him. But right now, Sorensen does not look creative whatsoever. The blitzes don't look creative. The stunts don't look creative. The fronts don't look creative. The situations he's putting players in, Devondre Campbell, whether he's guarding Kyren Williams or Parkinson, not good. He's not a pass cover linebacker. It's a reason why the Green Bay Packers let him walk. You know what I'm saying? So having Jarvarius Ward out there, he's got to make – I don't know. I don't know about Nick Sorensen.
Is the personnel as good as last year? Without Dre Greenlaw, I have a hard time saying it is.
It's not.
Okay?
So,
that is true. Simultaneously, you know what else is true? Dog, I'm seeing nothing creative. It's so predictable. Nothing. Second week in a row, there's a couple things. Details matter to me, okay? It's the little things. The little things matter. When you listen to Belichick, we were talking about special teams. Belichick had a Hall of Fame special teamer. His name was Matthew Slater.
Yeah.
They were always buttoned up on special teams. How many games in the margins did the Patriots win over the 25 years because of little advantages in special teams?
Special teams are huge.
Okay, Tom Coughlin and his special teams, they won multiple Super Bowls because they were buttoned up that way. Like, we've seen it with Kansas City. Whatever you say, Harrison Butker, the guy makes field goals. I never worry about their punt return situation.
Didn't miss an extra point yesterday, but for the most part, you're right.
You get what I'm saying. Like, he's a reliable player. But, like, B, the special teams is okay. Then I go to the defense and I say the details. They had 3 D tackles on a short yardage situation, and it's 4th and 1, and they run a stunt with a guy who weighs 350 pounds, where he has to go around a guy. It's a smash play. We're going forward. What are we stunting for?
I did like the 5-man front defensive line though when they had 3 D tackles out there.
Okay, can I get a free release?
I was respecting that.
Can I say then the bigger one to me? Second week in a row, D'Amico Lenore coming in off the slot.
Yep.
Second week in a row. It's so predictable. Okay, because you only run it so often. They run a screen to the opposite side and gain 15 yards. Second week in a row, the other sideline knew your blitz from the inside was coming and threw a screen in the other direction for a big gain. I'm telling you, the league knows. You're asking me, am I in or out? I'm already out on Sorensen.
Oh, wow,
that was fast.
That was fast.
888-957-9570.
9570. 888-957-9570. So it's okay to overreact about Nick Sorensen. Let me get that straight now, because I brought it up.
Our pet heads are falling off.
I brought it up week 2, Nick Sorensen, it's out on him. Now the spotlight's even brighter now, and it's happened quicker than I anticipated. We'll break here. We'll break. We'll take all the calls. Chris, Gabriel, Rhea, we're going to get to you on the other side. 888-957-9570. What a disaster for the 49ers yesterday down at SoFi Stadium. More coming up. By the way, don't miss the kickoff show next Sunday live, 2 hours before the start of the game. Hilton Hotel, Evan Giddings, Low Neal, presented by Habbins Law. You've been wronged. Habbins Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabbinsLaw.com. What's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Nick Sorensen. Nick Sorensen. What do you think about him? What do you think? And then we'll get to Kyle. We'll get to Purdy. We're going to cover all bases here on the Morning Roast.
From EDH, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Chasky on 95.7 The Game. Sprinkle me, man.
Let that baby rock, baby. Little Kanye West blame game, because now that's what happens after a loss. Finger point. You get all kind of text messages, Chasky. I do messages on Twitter, personal texts. It's Shedhead. It's Sorensen. It's Ayuk. It's Big Trent. It's Brendel. It's McKivitz. It's the lack of running in the second half. It's the defense. Where's Nick Bosa? Where's Leonard Floyd? Where's Javon Hargrave? Where's the coverage? Where's the pass rush? Where's the run defense? Monday morning quarterback, baby, where we play the blame game. But what went wrong yesterday? Because I swear to God, even on the final possession, when the Niners had the ball, And before did Ronnie Bell throw, and I'm not blaming Ronnie Bell. He's got to make the catch, no doubt about it. That's a big-time play. You want to earn your spot on this team, you make that play. Now on Wednesday, he may be looking for a new roster. That's a fact. He may be looking for a new roster. But I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching that entire game, I'm saying to myself, why is this game so damn close? Why is it so close? Now, I know why. You left a lot of food on your plate. You played with your food. But why did you play with your food? That's a game the 49ers last season put away. Now, obviously, it's a whole new team. It's a whole new season. And there's going to be a clunker like that here and there. But did you know, since Shanahan was hired in 2017, there's only one other coach who's blown more double-digit leads in a football game. That coach is John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Shanahan is second. And since 2017, when he was hired by the 49ers, only Jim Harbaugh is ahead of Shanahan when it comes to blowing double-digit leads. John Harbaugh, not Jim.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I've had this philosophy or theory a long time that Shanahan gets a little tight in certain situations, especially late. And then we had all the rhetoric last week about his drop-back passing game, third-down passing game, vertical passing game, where it's a little behind the eight ball there. It hasn't been revolutionized yet within the system. But all kind of weird things happen, whether it's a blown third and 15, whether it's a pass interference, whether it's a special teams play, whether it's an interception. They don't execute when you need them to execute at crucial periods of time. Yeah, they're front runners in terms of they get a big lead, they could blow you out. But when they're in a dogfight and they're in a game that comes down to the last possession, things go awry for the 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. And he's won a lot of football games. But the execution and crunch time under him in tight ball games, it leaves us all scratching our head.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the big picture, because I think we could pick apart each of these different losses where they've had like this. And it's a variety of things like every time. But I'm just looking at the defense. And like part of what made them elite was a fearsome front seven.
Yep.
Their front seven is 2.5 players. It's Nick Bosa, who I don't think is playing great. I don't really know what's going on. And then Fred Warner, who's awesome. We all agree. He's awesome. I didn't think it was his greatest game yesterday. No. He's lucky his leg didn't get snapped off by, you know, Jair Brown on that play. Oh my goodness. And then the half of guys, Malik Collins. I think Malik Collins is a solid player. Javon Hargrave's giving them nothing, especially if you look at bang for the buck,
no.
Garbo. He had the big sack yesterday. That was it. Leonard Floyd made two plays. One was a hands to the face penalty. The other one was him dropping back in coverage and tackling a guy on a 5-yard gain. Outside of that, Leonard Floyd has been a big dud. And then I look at the other two linebackers playing alongside Fred Warner, who play way too much for my liking. Dominic Flanagan fouls. He ate turf yesterday. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it. It was a screen play. He just fell. The sniper got him. And then DeVondre Campbell, you and I have been all over this for a month.
Yeah.
Get DeVondre Campbell off the field.
You know what, though? I'm looking at my big money players. And it starts with Nick Bosa, number 97. Why isn't he getting consistent pressure on the quarterback when the Rams are going out there? And they're trotting out dudes from the UFL, the XFL, the CFL. They got no offensive linemen. You couldn't name a Rams offensive lineman. Couldn't name one. They had a dude coming back from suspension yesterday who hadn't played. Why isn't Nick Bosa getting consistent pressure? He's making $34 million a year.
I don't know. I really don't know. But it does feel like, to me, the thing that I saw McVay do yesterday, we could talk about the passing concepts, but the run game. Run it up the middle, or we're going to stretch it deep to the outside, right? Yep. How many times did you see
Stafford? Run to the right.
Right?
Stafford's running out there. Balls all the way out there to stretch play.
It was one or the other. Right up the gut or way to the outside. So are they not setting the edge? Do they not have the linebacker speed? Like, I don't – someone who has a more sophisticated football mind can explain it to me. I'm not trying to pretend that I'm baldy. So I'm not – I don't know. I don't understand.
Right.
He's too good of a player, and you're spending way too much money to get this kind of production.
Yeah.
I'm at the point now, though, where I'm just – the way I view this defense is like they need a complete overhaul of the front seven outside of the 2.5 players I named.
This team's going to have to win some shootouts here. That's basically what it is. Let's get to the lines.
Just real quick, how come when I watch the Chiefs games, and Spagnuolo is a brilliant X's and O mind, we know that, but how come Chris Jones either gets used as a, like, somehow they get a matchup and a miscommunication, free rush, or the matchup that they want where it's one-on-one and he eats, or they use him as a decoy and someone else gets a free rush.
Right.
When was the last time the Niners, not a safety, not a corner, When was the last time a defensive lineman made a miscommunication and the Niners had a free rusher at a quarterback?
What have it? Who's the guy? I don't want to botch his name.
91 came out of nowhere.
That's what I'm saying. He had free rusher.
This young man.
Yeah, he's got a long name.
Have you ever heard of him?
I'd never heard of him until he made the play. Well, he was when you said Scott Free, a rusher coming in. Scott Free. He came in. Scott Free had a big time sack, which forced the Rams into a field goal. It forced him into a field goal to make it 24-17. But why not start with Nick Bosa? And you bring up Chris Jones. And I'm watching TJ Watt just having a phenomenal start to the season. I'm looking at Nick Bosa and I'm saying, okay, you've been solid. But $34 million a year? Oh. Solid ain't good enough.
If we're going to critique Brandon Ayuk to the degree that we're going to critique him, then Bosa deserves to be critiqued simultaneously.
I need more moves. I need stunts. I need something. I need you to force turnovers. I get he almost forced a turnover last week against Minnesota. But Bosa for getting paid what he's getting paid as a highest paid defensive player in football, it's just not good enough.
I would agree.
Let's go to the line. Let's get to these lines.
They're top paid players. Warner's really the only guy living up to it this year.
Yeah, that's it. On
Trent
defense.
Warner, Trent Williams? I told you. Debo Samuel Sr. on the back of his jersey. It should say Trent Williams the fourth, as in Trent Williams IV, because every game he's going to get an IV.
Wasn't that funny? Yesterday, Christina Pinky goes down. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, Trent's down. And she comes back and goes, oh, Trent's going to be fine. He just needed another IV. I say, okay, IV scoreboard. That's two IVs for Trent Williams.
Trent Williams. These are the cap hits. Trent Williams, 22. Charvarius, 18. Those are your top two guys. Are they playing great?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Nick Bosa, $15 million. He's not playing what we think he can play, even though he's a good player, not playing great.
I don't want to hear about holding calls either about Nick Bosa.
Well, he did get held, but he got called.
But everybody gets held.
Yeah, but he got a call. But like Ayuk, Kittle, Hargrave, Debo, these are all your highest paid players, and they're not showing up. It's just... Let's get to the lines.
I'm going to get to the lines, Shasky.
My head is going to
Chris
explode.
Is San Jose. Chris, what's happening?
What's up, Chris?
We're going to get to everybody here. Chris, what's going on?
Hey, morning, gentlemen. I'm not on my speakerphone riding around the bay this morning.
Good.
I want to talk about a few things, I guess, because, we can go up and down the list like Shasky was about to do, talking about the mediocrity on the roster, people not showing up. Let's just start with Bosa, since that's who you're talking about. Let me pose this question to you. How many elite defensive linemen, not just ends, how many elite defensive linemen do you think there are in the league?
A lot right now.
Do you think there's one on every team?
Yeah.
Do you think, maybe 15? Because Bosa is not playing at an elite level. I take Hutchinson over him.
Yes.
I take Garrett over him.
Yes.
I take Will Anderson Jr., that guy that the Texans just signed.
Dexter Lawrence.
J. Watt, Crosby. I mean, the list goes on. That guy... And, we hear him talk. It's, he's kind of monotone, It's like he's brain dead. I got to rush the quarterback. All these other defensive ends, they're nuanced.